Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Good morning, Dr. Carol Lieberman, as we talk about new demands for transparency with drones. We have in the news here in Philadelphia, as well as Madison, Wisconsin, young kids becoming victims of shootings, or are the alleged perpetrators of those, getting younger and younger. So it's timely that you're here, and to, what do you always say, you're a sanctuary for sanity. So good morning.
Yes, thank you.
So can you take me through, as far as, first of all, you're probably getting this too. Everywhere I go, whether it's holiday parties, work, everybody's talking about the drones hovering over everybody's homes in these, sensitive areas, as they're called, power sources, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and beyond. A lot of people concerned about this. At the state level, our governor, Josh Shapiro, and New Jersey's governor as well, demanding answers, but at the federal level, they double down and say, oh, nothing to see here, nothing to worry about. And so I'll ask you two questions. Do you think that, you know, that's good for the psychology of people here to just go, oh, sure, there's nothing to worry about? And then also, little kids hear us talking about it, right, as the grown-ups, and it worries them. So how to talk to your child about something like this in the headlines?
Yes, absolutely. Well, first of all, you know, whatever the drones are, what's even more worrisome is the fact that our government isn't telling us about it and just expecting us to be idiots and believe that they don't know what it is, or that, look away. There's nothing here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that makes one think, first of all, presumably they do know what it is, because otherwise they would be scrambling to figure it out too. There are a number of things that it could be. People are making, we're left to just hypothesize about what it could be. The one of the scariest things would be some foreign country. To me, it seems the most likely thing to me is Iran, because they've seen a mothership leave Iran and come within enough, come closer to America. Mm-hmm. We know that Iran is, we know, first of all, that Obama and Biden are BFFs with Iran, because they've been giving Iran billions and billions of dollars, and which financed Iran's proxies, Hezbollah and Hamas, to attack Israel. And so it just seems most likely here's the thing. I mean, the main thing is it has to have something to do with Trump, because I don't mean that he's causing it in any way, but I mean people or an organization or a group or a country who don't want Trump to be inaugurated. I think that the main purpose of this is to stop him from being inaugurated, because people know in our country and in other countries that when he gets inaugurated, he's a new sheriff in town, and life is not going to be, people aren't going to get away with stuff that they've been getting away with. And so it would be somebody or some country or some group who doesn't want to not be able to get away with what they've been getting away with.
And so, Dr. Carol, my question is, and you're somebody who's even, one of your best-selling books, Lions and Tigers and Terrorists, Oh My, and it's the first book about terrorism for kids. So this is a theory, and I was at a party over the weekend, a family party, and the grown-ups are talking, and kids, you know, from ages 12 to 2, they're hearing the grown-ups with theories just like you're saying, right?
Yes.
So as somebody who's, you know, you've written the first book about terrorism for kids, and I'll just be honest, one of the little kids asked me, and I said, well, honey, you know, I really think it's Santa's elves working out the new routes, because I don't want kids, you know what I mean? I don't want a little, like, six-year-old who's hearing this to lose sleep over it, you know? Is that bad? Is that, you know, what's your advice to people?
Well, that's a creative answer. Okay. well, you know, first of all, what I tell people in regard to terrorism, and it really relates to, you know, to this too, or anything in the news that's potentially scary, is that first, the first rule is to realize that kids know more about these things than we give them credit for. And the way that they know about it, now they don't necessarily know the right answer. We don't know the right answer. So obviously the kids are going to be super confused. And the thing is that they, not only do they see things on television, hear things on the radio, look on the internet, but also they overhear parents talking and they, at school, the main issue is at school, because, you know, there are, they're going to hear kids who are older than they are talking about all kinds of ideas of what this could be. And, you know, the kids at school, or older kids especially, like to scare the younger kids. So they're going to make it into something really scary. So it's, I think you're kind of, at least 6 years, 5 or 6 years old and up, you have to give, some, I recommend in any case, that you give some kind of a related answer. Do you know what I mean? Like, or, I mean, in this case, of course, it's so hard because it could be anything, but you could say something like, well, excuse me, well, we're studying it. We're not quite sure, but, you know, if we're, you see, the problem is parents always want to say, it'll be okay. It's nothing to worry about. Kind of like what the government is saying to us.
Exactly.
So you know, this is a little harder than terrorism, because with terrorism, as I explain in my book, you know, you want the kids to understand what a terrorist is and why they are that way, why they want to kill us, and you know, you do want to give some backstory, obviously, more depending upon the age and the psychological maturity of the child. But with the drones, it is really hard because it could be, it could be anything.
Yes.
And a lot of things that it could be are very scary. Because so I mean, I guess for now, you're elves.
Sentence.
Just as good as anything else. The main thing is to explain that we're working on it, that we're investigating it.
Yes, that they're as one of the kids said, well, I think that if they were bad guys, they would turn their lights off. And I thought that was pretty astute, quite frankly. They do have bright lights on, so there's that. I wanted to pivot to talking about vaccines, immunizations in the headlines, the polio immunization in the headlines. I know that, you know, you had talked about mandatory lockdowns, and you had been asked a lot during the pandemic about, you know, the coronavirus shot or so-called vaccine is not an immunization like polio. But what's your take on all of this, as they, first of all, in the news, the polio immunization, and then as well with that, the wording of, did RFK Jr. or somebody that's his advisor question with regard to vaccines and autism? What's your take on all of that, Dr. Carroll?
Well, as far as the vaccines for COVID, I have been against them from the beginning, and I never got a COVID shot, and I didn't let my daughter get a COVID shot. And, of course, now I'm very glad that I didn't get it and didn't let her get it, because, you know, we're finding out more and more reactions, side effects, and so on. Mm-hmm. And as far as As far as what was the other one that you were asking about?
Well, there's a lot that I've gone through with the headlines.
Oh, about autism.
Autism, polio,
yes.
You know.
Yes, yes. You know, that idea has been around for a while, and I don't know if you saw the movie. Do you remember? Like, this is like maybe 8 years ago or so, there was a movie about that, I'm not sure if RFK Jr. was involved with, I think he was involved with the movie, but it showed how it was like a documentary, and it showed how the vaccines that they were connecting to autism, how they came about, and, you know, about basically not trusting the NIH and so on. And I don't know the answer to that, because it was very persuasive. I will say that the movie was very persuasive. But, you know, and it's, children are getting so many more vaccines these days than I ever got as a child. Mm-hmm. And I will say that it's a bit of overkill. And now that we saw what happened with COVID, how the big pharma was pushing these vaccines, you know, so that they could make a lot of money. Then of course, it has made me rethink all these other vaccines that kids are being made to take. I mean, when I was growing up, you know, we used to get measles and mumps, mm-hmm. at chickenpox, and it didn't kill us. I mean, yes, I know there's a small percentage where it can have a bad effect. You know, it can have side effects. Mm-hmm. Having the illness itself, like mumps, for example, can cause problems in boys. But it's such a small percentage. Mm-hmm. And so all of these, you know, it's a vaccine for everything. And yes, I think the polio vaccine did save a lot of people, you know, from getting polio. So you can't like make a sweeping generalization, mm-hmm. necessarily. But I think all of these vaccines need to be looked at again and really assessed as to whether how safe it is they are, and all of them together. You know, that's the thing. Even if they are safe individually, yeah. the idea of all of them together, so many together, and the question of autism and other things, I think needs to, yeah. be looked at.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and I think we also need to, even in the news and information business, we need to think about differentiating between something like an immunization, right? You mentioned chickenpox or polio. There's a huge difference between something that wipes out, eradicates a horrible disease, and then a flu shot or a COVID shot. And I think sometimes, mm-hmm. we haven't done a good enough job, I'll just say, in the media or the information business, of differentiating, mm-hmm. them and calling them by different names. And that's, to your point, really, is saying, okay, what ones are absolutely, you know, things that have eradicated, mm-hmm. these horrible childhood diseases and just gotten rid of them versus something that's just a yearly thing, or, you know, every 5 years or whatever. So I wanted to go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead.
I wanted to move on to the issue of, you know, this issue of a 15-year-old in Madison, Wisconsin. We have this horrible, yeah. school shooting, deadly school shooting, obviously somebody with mental health issues turning the gun on herself. And then at the same time, our mayor, Sherelle Parker in Philadelphia, had a news conference yesterday, talked about the fact that even though in Philadelphia, in cities like Philadelphia in particular, really dealing with the issue of violence in the city, but when we look at the stats, specifically the younger and younger perpetrators as well as victims. So we have, as I speak, two 14-year-olds and a 15-year-old, one of them shot in the face in Christmas Village. in a beautiful, you know, right near our beautiful city, all lit up so beautifully, many, you know, tourists and residents coming to celebrate. And just the question of why is it that we have this mental health crisis and young kids, you know, 12, 13 to 15, becoming more and more violent?
Well, there are a lot of factors that go into it. One of them, I think the biggest one, or one of the biggest ones, is violent video games. I have been talking about violent video games for years. And originally, I was the head of the National Coalition on TV Violence. And so originally, we were talking about TV violence and movie violence. But then video games came about. And video game violence is even worse because, first of all, the storylines and the pictures and all of that are a lot worse than television and movies. And the main part that makes it worse is that you are the one pushing the button, you know, to shoot somebody or to knife somebody or, you know, so you are involved in the story and you get practice. I mean, they use these for the military. To give the military practice on killing people so that they are desensitized to it when they join the military and they go into another country and they have to shoot people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it works that way for the military, of course it's working that way for kids. The problem starts with parents. There's a certain profile, you know, of course, whenever there's a school shooting, I mean, you know, just like clockwork, we have people coming out and saying, oh, we got to get rid of the guns. It's the guns. And, of course, and it's not the guns because when there aren't guns, people use knives, you know, like in England with the mm-hmm. shooting or the knifing of the little girls at that Taylor Swift yeah. party, you know, I mean, you don't need a gun. And so, but what it is starts with parents being, the children come from a dysfunctional home. Mm-hmm. And in particular, there is abuse in the home. They are being abused. And they are sexually abused or physically abused or abused by neglect. And that, of course, gives them time and that makes them angry mm-hmm. and gives them time and reason to play violent video games and to express their anger, which doesn't really get rid of it. You know, there were some people, I don't think they're still, I don't know, I guess there are some people still trying to use that argument that, oh, no, this gets rid of the child's anger. But it doesn't. It exacerbates it. Mm-hmm. To whatever degree they get it out, they also get it added to. The number of hours that a child or an adult, for that matter, plays violent video games, that is the number their aggression is increased that many times. Like the more hours they play, the more they are increased in their aggression. And it's not that everybody is going to become a serial killer or a school shooter, mm-hmm. but we see it in other parts of our life too, like in air rage and in parking lot rage and yeah. domestic violence. And our society, ever since the lockdowns, where, you know, it's called bedroom terrorists, ever since the lockdowns, where people had all the time in the world to spend playing violent video games, they came out of the lockdowns armed for bear, mm-hmm. ready for bear. And so we have a much more violent society than we had before the lockdowns and COVID and all that. And so there's that. So the parents' abuse, the child playing violent video games. Every school shooter has been addicted to violent video games. That's the one thing that is common that we know of that's been common to all of them. I mean, I'm sure also they had abusive parents and all these other things, but they have found out every single child school shooter has been addicted to violent video games. What else? Also, they are typically bullied in school. Mm-hmm. Bullied and or isolated. They're the kid who's sitting at lunch alone. They don't do well in school for the most part. You know, and the reason why they're bullied is because bullies have radar for picking out the kids who are the most troubled, mm-hmm. you know, the least well-adjusted, because they know that the bullying is going to have the biggest effect mm-hmm. on the kids who are, you know, very are put together with scotch tape, you know, and they want with their bullying to have this big effect on the child that who they're bullying. They also, of course, have mental health problems. They can be sometimes like garden variety, relatively minor problems like depression or anxiety, or sometimes they're more serious like schizophrenia or manic depressive illness or, you know, bipolar.
And so that brings me to the issue of medication, because some of these individuals, and we don't report on this enough, but maybe they're on various medications that are interacting. Do you think the medication that kids are on nowadays, Matt, is an issue?
Well, there is a big problem with medication, but not in the way that has been talked about.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with medication, the problem is that psychiatrists, because of insurance companies deciding that it's cheaper to pay a psychologist or a social worker mm-hmm. to do therapy, you know, 45-minute, 50-hour therapy, than it is to pay a psychiatrist who's an MD to do therapy. So they pay these, you know, other professionals who don't have an MD to do therapy, and the amount that they pay the psychiatrist is so little that most psychiatrists, not me, not I, said the little redhead, mm-hmm. I was trained, you do therapy, and if the person needs medication, you prescribe medication. But the root of all treatment should be psychotherapy. And no medication will help a person with whatever problem, psychological problem that they have. No medication alone will solve that problem. Mm-hmm. You need to have the therapy to get to the root of the problem. And then, yes, sometimes, you know, you may also need medication to help the person be able to hear the therapy or participate in the therapy. And in certain disorders like schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, you do need to be on medication for life, kind of like diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
But it is not what's happening today is people go to a psychiatrist, the psychiatrist sees them for 15 minutes to a half an hour, and decides, doesn't ask them about their childhood or about, you know, doesn't go deep into what's really bothering them. And they just, you know, pick out a medication and give them a prescription and tell them to come back in a month. Well, that's a prescription for disaster, because and that is what's happening, but it would be patients. And sometimes, you know, it takes a while, first of all, for things like antidepressants to work.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to know the right dose. And you need to see these people every week if you're giving them medication to adjust the medication and to see whether this is the medication that works or whether you need to give another medication. But what they do is when the person comes back in a month, again, they don't really get into the problems, but they just give them another prescription because the first prescription didn't work. So they just pile prescription upon prescription mm-hmm. upon prescription. And it is very bad in many ways. The side mm-hmm. effects, that is not the way to fix any psychological problem.
As far as, you know, which brings me to Luigi Mangione, who's expected to waive extradition here in Pennsylvania to New York. But one of the things that I think surprised people, you know, he's from an affluent family. He was valedictorian of his private
high school,
had all of the bona fides, you know, UPenn, Ivy League education, had all kinds of friends. What do you see when you see this case?
Well, you know, I don't condone, of course, anybody killing anybody, but if you look into his whole background, which I have been doing because I've been talking about him a lot, it's not as easy. Just because somebody is rich doesn't mean mm-hmm. and smart doesn't mean that they have it together. He had lots of problems starting in childhood. He started having back problems in childhood, and it doesn't seem to me like his parents, you know, took him to get enough treatment or to look into it enough. He also got Lyme disease when he was 13, and that caused brain fog, which then got worse when he was in college and went through hazing. Then his back problems got worse, and in around 2022, he was already having a lot of back pain because he has spondylolisthesis, which is slipped discs that slip and land on nerves, and so you get all kinds of nerve pain, and he had numbness in his genitalia. And, you know, imagine a 26-year-old, you know, 26-year-old kid who can't have sex. There were lots of things in his mother. He talks about his mother who made him eat with his right hand when he was lefty. I don't think, you know, his grandparents were super rich, but I don't think his own parents were that super wealthy because, and he was estranged from them, certainly since July 1st. His mother hadn't heard from him since July 1st, 2024. And she reported him missing in November, in mid-November. Now, excuse me. Now, I know he traveled. You know, he went to Hawaii twice, and he went to Japan, and he probably traveled other places. But your child, you don't have contact with your child since July 1st, and you wait till mid-November to report him missing? I mean, there is some kind of estrangement and problem there.
I'd be freaking out. July 2nd, I'd be freaking out.
I mean, yeah. And so, we don't know all of the details of what these problems are, but I think he has been troubled for a long time. And the thing is, like the high school, his high school speech, he talked to me, you could tell that he was someone who expected to do and wanted to do big things in his life.
Yeah.
And between the brain fog and his back injury, he realized that he couldn't do them. And I think that he was suicidal when he killed the CEO, and this was going to be his like last hurrah. You know, he liked the Unabomber. He liked how he smart he was, and how he had these beliefs, the Unabomber, and you know I'm not saying that he necessarily agreed with bombing all these. In fact, he had thought about bombing United Healthcare and then decided not to because he didn't want other people to be hurt or killed. So I think this was his way of going out with a bigger hurrah, affecting society, trying to do something good for society, and then you know I hope he's on suicide watch. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, that's what we hear. So, and we expect to hear within the next 48 hours whether he will indeed be extradited. Well, listen, we'll leave it there. Dr. Carol Lieberman, Dr. Carol's Couch is your podcast. You have some great, you're an author of incredible books. Thank you so much for your time and all these great explanations and details. Thank you, Dr. Carol.
You're very welcome. My pleasure.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.